The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation. As we get started, I want to tell you a quick story. So most people in my life know that my mom is an exceptional author, and she has a book of poetry called New Day, which was very popular in the 60s and 70s. And last year, we got it republished, and it's available on Amazon, and really wonderful, inspirational book. A friend of mine said, gosh, I read your mom's poetry. She's really funny, and she's very real. And I said, well, I think that's what being a mom is. You got to have a sense of humor in it, and it's very real. So in the time of getting that book published, spent a lot of time with my mom, I found out she wrote another book. You know, like moms have some secrets, I guess. They don't tell people. And so I found out she wrote this book, and I kept bugging her about it. And she actually shared it with the manuscript of a friend of hers was a history guy. And he really liked it because this book's historic fiction. And since I'm functionally illiterate, no, that's not true. I'm not a big-time reader. But I will say that my nephew read the book, and he came back to me. He's a real sharp guy, Ken, and he said that he thought it was an excellent book. So I kept just poking and prodding my mom, and then finally got her to release a copy of it. And so we got with a content editor, creative content creator, got to get that right, content creator. That's a new word. I would say editor, content creator. And the publisher, the exact same publisher we used for New Day, who did such a great job. And boom, Florida, A Love Story got published and is now available on Amazon. So today, our guest for a Crossman Conversation is the whole entire crew, starting with my mom and the publisher and the editor, and I'm so excited. So mom, thanks to have you here. Thank you. And tell us your thoughts about your new book.
Well, thank you for having us here. I am happy to be here with my two friends, Tarsha Campbell and Trish Harris, without whom this would never have happened. So I am grateful for both of these women who not only have the expertise, but at least a couple of times they both talked me off the ledge. So that was great. I do want to say one more word about the book, and that's that I've had a good bit of feedback now, and it's been very, very nice, fun, of course. But people saying what they thought the book was about, and they were correct, but nobody has mentioned this, and I didn't mention it to anybody as I was writing. The book, to me, from beginning to end, is about healing.
Was it healing for you to write it?
Yes.
Has it been healing for you to have it read?
Are you kidding? Of course, of course.
So this is a fun journey for you. That's really
great. It's a very fun journey.
That's
yes.
Great. That's great. Well, you know, like so many things in life, Mom, it sounds like to be successful, what you did is you got the A team in, and that really was what made it happen. So let's talk to them a little bit. So first off, Tarsha, let's start with you. Tarsha Campbell, Dominion House Publishing and Editing. Did I get it right?
Design. Yeah.
And so this is our second book with you.
It is.
And you're not tired of us yet.
I am not. I love you guys.
Well, we love you, Tarsha. Tell us a little bit, what was the experience like publishing this book? What are your thoughts?
Well, when I first received the manuscript, I have to tell you, I was pretty excited about it.
Really?
I was. And it was something that when I started to read it, it was like, wait a minute, something's happening here. And as I was going through, because you mentioned before, it's a historical fiction. Mm-hmm. And so as I was reading it, I'm saying, wait a minute, I think that happened in history for real. I didn't realize, you know, it was going to be a novel as so until later we received the preface. And so when I began to read the book, I was excited about the history that was contained in this fast-paced moving novel that really got my attention. So I was excited to receive it. Excited to work on it, excited to publish it, and I'm just thrilled to be able to be in the same space with Miss Cecily, or Mrs. Crossman that I call her. And so it's been just wonderful.
It is a journey, and I would imagine in your world that's you, this is what you do. It's like you're helping somebody deliver their baby. It's a big deal, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, John, that's exactly how I see it. It's a baby being delivered. something that's been placed on the inside of you, and you need to deliver it to the world. And so being a part of this whole process with your mother has been such a joy to me. And just to see her reach this point where she actually has the book in her hands is just something.
Listen, when I was in my house, I was on my back porch on Sunday morning, just looked at Amazon, and then there it was. That was the crazy. That's such a joy. That's such a big deal. Is there anything, so you mentioned the historic part, is there anything else about the book as you were working on it that jumped out to you that like, ooh, that's unique, or that you really enjoyed that jumped out to you?
What I really loved about it was the love story. Because not only was I able to see there was an actual love story within the pages of the book, but also I could see the love that Mrs. Cecily had for Florida itself as right. well. I share that same love for Florida. So that kind of jumped out at me as well, being able to see how she was able to really go in and masterfully just put this whole thing together. And so we're getting so much more than just a novel here.
That's such a really great point. And a couple of things about that. One is that some people say, oh, Florida has no history. And we actually have very rich history. Mm-hmm. And so that's very meaningful for Floridians. And then the humanity of it, the love story part of it as well. And as Mom talked, the healing about it, which is all very, very cool. You know what's funny, Tarsha, is that a friend of mine was reading one of my mom's poems. And they started reading it to me. And they're like, you should read more of these poems, do more of this. And I had to stop them. I said, listen, I love my mom's writings, right? And I respect them and I value them. You have to understand, for you, you're reading it as content or history. I'm like, but sometimes when it's my mom's emotions, that's a little much for me, mm-hmm. you know, because it's my mom.
Yes.
So I'm so grateful for you because you're able to go some places with her that are a little bit, would be hard for me to go. Mm-hmm. And so I just really appreciate that as a publisher and as a partner, what you did. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. It's absolutely. My pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. Amazing. So let's get Trish here in the conversation. Mm-hmm. Trish.
Yes.
So you know my mom. You guys are buddies, you know, and these are friends in addition.
Many years.
Knew my dad. You knew my dad
yes.
as well. So
yes.
I mean, there's that history with it.
Yes.
And so you came into the process. And so what I would typically do is editing.
Right.
So talk to me about that process of you getting this manuscript and then I guess having to read it and then adjust it. And that's got to be hard because you want to keep it in her content of her vision and passion, but also making it flow better and improving it. So talk to us about that process.
Well, it was a labor of love for me because I love your mom so much. And we've been friends for many years, but we've never worked together.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first read the book, I loved the story. I loved where she went with each chapter. But I saw my job as stepping in as fresh eyes and trying to make it the smoothest it could be, transitioning from one part to the next. And so that's what I did.
That's got to be
my job.
Was it harder that you were friends or easier that you were friends? Or a little both?
I think I was able to read between the lines.
Oh, really? Because you knew her.
I knew her so
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
And I could recognize life stories that she was telling that someone who was a stranger wouldn't.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Is there any part of the book that struck you that you're like, ooh, that was really powerful, or anything you want to highlight for yourself?
There were quite a few oohs.
Really?
Yeah.
No spoiler alerts now, you know.
And no spoiler alerts. But as someone who grew up in small town Mississippi,
mm-hmm.
my big brother always had a horse.
Mm-hmm.
And we would ride on his horse to the Saturday afternoon movies, believe it or not.
Wow. How about
not.
That?
And we would go in, watch 4 hours of cowboy shows, and then go home on the horse and act them out. And in my mind, the cowboy shows always took place in Texas or Wyoming. Mm-hmm. I had no idea Florida was a part of the frontier story of history.
Absolutely.
And when I read that in the book, it blew me away.
That's very cool. So there was a a personal connection to it that you identified, and then also something you learned from that process as well.
Oh, yes.
That's very cool. That's very cool.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And so so you went through the whole thing, went through that process, and how long did that process take, of the editing process? How long was that?
Oh, goodness. What, Sess? Several months?
Several months, yes.
Yeah.
And part of it had to do with separating the factual history from the fantasy. Hmm. And as I was editing, I wanted it to be very clear what was fact and what was fiction, because they're closely aligned in the story.
I saw my wife and I are going to go to Scotland soon, and I was just reading about London and Scotland and Glasgow and places. And somebody, there's a guy that works in London, said that one of these common questions he gets is like, "Where's Hogwarts?" You know, like, and like, "Where's Cinderella's castle?" Like, that's pretty annoying. So there is this balance of reality, fantasy, kind of a thing. And I think what's cool about this book is it gives a humanity, a context to historical things. It helps you kind of understand it in a personal way. So that's very cool. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back. And Tarsha and Trish, I want to ask you about any writers out there listening to this, like what advice you'd have with them. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. I want to get your insight. And Mom, again, thanks for being here talking about Florida, a love story.
Are you looking for remote work but are worried that you don't have the right skills? The Central Florida Urban League offers a Microsoft Office Specialist course that teaches you how to use Microsoft Word, Microsoft Excel, and Microsoft PowerPoint. With your MOS certification, you will have a major advantage when applying for jobs. For more information and how to enroll, call the Central Florida Urban League at 407-841-7654 or visit our website at cful.org/Microsoft_Office_Specialist.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
We're back with a Crossman conversation, and my guests today are my mom, Cecily Crossman, who wrote Florida, a Love Story, and then we have Tarsha Campbell with Dominion House Publishing and Design, and Trish Harris, who is a content creator and editor. So thank you, ladies, all for being with us today. And so we've been talking about Florida, a Love Story, and you've been talking about the background and working on the book. And so, Tarsha, I want to go back to you that, you know, I think about book writing as like running a marathon. You know, when somebody says they want to run a marathon, you know, I think a lot of people could do it, but, you know, that's not a joke. You have to take it very seriously. And then if somebody said to me, you want to run Boston Marathon, well, that's like a full-time job. Like, that's a whole different thing. And so I say to people, if you want to write a book, that's one thing. If you want to write a best-selling book, that's a totally different thing, right? So trying to understand the difference. So I would imagine there's people listening to this and they're thinking, gosh, in deep inside me, I have a baby. I have a book that I want to come out. What advice would you have on there? And I also this, people tell me all the time that they see my mom, who's 83 years old. She loves to want to bring that up. But they're inspired. They think, wow, she did 83. And so, you know, I could do that too. What advice of somebody who's thinking about writing a book? What should they do?
Well, what I would tell someone, and I often tell people this, that I can see that they have some type of literary gifting or anointing on their life, that I would tell them to really home in on what they're hearing and get that download and begin to write. Even if you can't make it sound perfect in the moment, we can always get a person like Trish to help you, an editor. But just get to a place where you start to write what you're hearing. Don't be afraid to take that step. And I'm so inspired by your mother for that reason, her being 83 and still being able to step out and do the things that she had in her heart to do, which is right. And so a lot of times people will go through their whole entire life never really stepping out on a dream that they may have.
Sure.
And so that's what I would tell an aspiring author. Don't be afraid to take that leap. Pick up that pen, paper, and some people may still use pen and paper. Pick up that device, that iPad, that computer, and just start to write. And then see where it goes from there.
I have one of my best friends from childhood. His mom is a contemporary of my mom, and she turned 80 a couple of years ago. And she jumped out of an airplane. She went skydiving 80. And I said to Mom, please don't do that. Please don't do that. But it's along the same lines. She was physically fit. She went through the stuff, and she did it. And so you can keep doing stuff. So you're saying if they feel like they have in them, just start to write. My mom says that. I say this differently, but I always say writers got to write, right? So
writers,
if you're a writer,
right.
Is that right?
Writer, that's right.
Writers write. So even if you do a blog, even if you did a blog just for yourself. But the discipline of writing is a good thing.
That's right.
My definition, John, of being a writer is writing.
Yeah.
That's just it. May I say one more word about Tarsha?
Sure.
She is so good at saying, well, now I want a page about this, and now I want a page about something else. And so there are that has made the book so much more interesting. Other than the story, there are other things, quotes and various things in the book that just, for me, it's fun, brings it alive even more.
I can remember you giving a lecture when I was a kid, and you were talking to young people, teenagers, about writing. And you were saying, even if you're writing a love note to your boyfriend or girlfriend, write it well. Do you remember?
I do.
But you were trying to like lean into that. And of course, we have a culture where a lot of times people are just texting and not even capitalizing. But I think you would say, Tarsha, it's like slow down and like really write something. Mm-hmm. And so, and people probably they need a publisher, and so it's cool. And like sometimes people have big dreams of having some big name publisher, but those groups, unless you win a gold medal or you're president of the United States, it's kind of hard to do. But there's companies like your own that's locally, and it's a local owned business. I'm a big fan of locally owned businesses. And so they can contact you or someone like you, yes, and you help people through that process.
That's correct.
And you
that's
become right. really partners to that process as well.
That's what I call a partnership, the type of publishing that we do for authors who want to really see what they have on the inside of them come to fruition. And what I like to add with what your mother just said, she was so easy to work with, offer the suggestions to her. And I like to tell people too, you may start out with this manuscript, but then you have to make sure you be adaptable to listen to the professionals like Trish, an editor, or even a copy, a person who proofreads, or even the publisher itself, and be willing to adapt and change the things that you need to change. So there's a chance that you can produce the best product that you have in mind to produce.
Well, you know, it's funny, a lot of times in life people use the word partnership, but they don't really mean it. Like they sort of get paid and then it's one-sided maybe. But it really is that way with you, because like you're both spending a lot of time, and then the book does well, already wins. And so it really is a real partnership. Mm-hmm. So Trish, let's bring you back in the conversation.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't know if you know this about me, Trish, but I'm dyslexic. And so public speaking is really easy for me, and but writing is really, really hard for me. Mm-hmm. And, and I have a book, but I used a ghostwriter on that book because it's hard. It's a hard thing to do. Mm-hmm. And so you're a really gifted writer, and on top of that, an editor. It's a content creator. So mm-hmm. when somebody is thinking about writing a book, you know, I even think even the best person, you write the same thing over and over again, you're going to have mistakes in it, or it doesn't sound right, or even doesn't come across right. So talk about the importance of hiring an editor in a process.
Well, I have a personal bias, and one of those biases is that 83 is a wonderful prerequisite for writing a book. When you think about 83 years of living, you are full of stories. And I think everybody has stories. And to me, stories are the sweet spot of life. And if we just think about it, think about our stories, think about things we've experienced, learnings we've had, and what other people could learn from what we've experienced, I would venture a guess there's nobody on the face of the earth who couldn't sit down and write something of value. And if they can't make it make sense, they hire an editor, and a good editor will find the jewels of wisdom in what's been written. A good editor can pull that out and make it sing.
That is so great and so true. I think it's a Texas expression that says, never let the facts get in the way of a good story, or you know, like never let the truth get in the way of a good story, which is sort of being silly. But I know a person, and they used to work for the FBI, and they told this story, and it was a long, detailed story, but they, in their mind, because they were good at what they did at the FBI, was that they were a very detailed person. And the story was kind of long and a lot of information. And when they got done, I said, so let me say, if I'm going to retell the story, you took a FBI private jet to a city and then drove a former drug dealer's car back to the main city. And she was like, yeah, I guess. I'm like, that's like, you know,
yes.
So that's kind of what you're saying, because somebody could write something and it's completely factually accurate. It's true. Mm-hmm. It even could be grammatically correct, but it doesn't story tell in a way that's visual to people. Right.
Right.
You know, it's funny. You know, my mom would always talk about, like, you know, the great teacher, you know, is Christ. And Christ could have said, like, hey, be nice to people. But instead, he taught in parables. And we think about the Good Samaritan. We could reference the Good Samaritan almost anywhere in the world, and people know that. So we remember that context. The storytelling context really helps create truth and memories. And it's stickier, I guess, right? Like, it gets to our soul better. Is that accurate?
Yes. I think that's what makes the sweet spot.
So it's interesting. So you say, so you're saying, like, if I had something, you could edit it and just make it sound better. You could edit it in the way it's, like, grammatically or punctuated or whatever. But you also could come in and say, John, it's not, the story's not transitioning the way you want it to. That could be a thing, too.
Sure, sure. Sometimes if you are flow writing and you are just putting down thoughts that came to you, someone else reading them might not make the connection. So someone like myself would come in and figure out how to sequence it in a way that it would make sense.
Gotcha. So I would also say this, just thinking about Tarsha, you and Trish, that one thing that was good about my mom is that when you guys came into it, she had a completed manuscript, right? And so what I imagine that when people are thinking, oh, I want to write a book, I want to hire a publisher, I want to hire an editor, you know, they need to be kind of far down the field, right? You to be ready for the two of you. You guys are big time. To be ready for you, they need to have kind of a pretty done manuscript. Is that accurate?
That's correct.
Yeah. I mean, you could give them a little bit of advice, but when they're talking about, like, the big time, you got to really be ready, you know?
Yeah, you have to be ready.
And so maybe they, like, if they're thinking, maybe they try to write a short story or something like that, but they need to get it, really get their homework in place,
that's,
you know?
That's correct, yeah. It's always best for them to have that fully developed idea, concept for what they're writing, and have them gone through the steps to have it done already.
It's got
to
be kind of baked. Mm-hmm. Maybe have an arc of the story, the first chapter, yes, the outline, that kind of thing. Trish, is that true?
And yet, sometimes the finished product looks nothing like the manuscript.
Yes. Really?
Because especially with business books, I've ghostwritten and edited numerous business books, and often the people who wrote them were professionals and really knowledgeable about the topic, but they were not good writers. And so I would have to take what they had developed and turn it into prose that really flowed. So often it looks quite different.
I get that. I had an old boss who I'm still good friends with, but he would say these super genius things and no one knew what he was saying. And then I would kind of translate them, like, what he's trying to say is, mm-hmm, basketball is fun, you know, or whatever he was trying to get across, you know. So we need to wrap up. Mom, is there any kind of final thoughts you'd like to say about the publishing, your book, Tarsha, Trish, anything you want to add?
I would just like to say to these two women, thank you, Tarsha, and thank you, Trish, that I don't see it happening like this without them. So I'm grateful.
Well, you know what, Mom? I'm grateful for them, too. You know, I've always felt in life, like, you know, when somebody wants to do a favor for me, be kind to my children, you know, you're kind to me. The same is true. You're kind to my mom. So thank you for all the love you did for my mom. And I'm hoping that from this, for me, it's really about legacy. It's kind of the beauty of, like, you know, when the book's on Amazon, there's unlimited copies, right? And so I hope that relatives that we never meet will be able to read the book and learn something from it and have context, you know, to my mom. You know, my grandfather, on my dad's side, was born in the 1800s. And Elfie, who helped raise my mom, was born around the same time as Custer's Last Stand. And so when we think about, what if we had books from them, right? Or to Tarsha or Trish, you know, your family. So it's a gift to future generations. And so I hope you guys leave with the blessing you've done for people that we'll never meet. Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
That's good stuff.
It's been a blessing to be a part of it.
It's fun, right? It's fun.
Great.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Trish, Tarsha, and Mom for being on the show on the Crossman Conversation. And as always, support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.